Okay, we're learning together. Hashem's help. Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, 23b. And we're learning quite a complicated sugya. We need to get our heads into it. On the laws of witnesses, and specifically whether one is allowed to disqualify witnesses. Can one litigant disqualify the other person's witnesses? So normally, they can't, obviously. A litigant's not allowed to disqualify witnesses. They're against him. Unless he can prove, like we learned from Hakamim. Hakamim said, unless you can prove that they are ineligible because they're pasul or they are relatives, so you can't touch them. Right? Unless they're relatives or they're pasul, you can't touch a witness, especially if you're a litigant. Can't say anything about it. He's against you. Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir argued with Hafman and says that the litigant can disqualify them. We want to know now what he's talking about. What is the case that Rabbi Meir says that a litigant can disqualify witnesses? It's obviously not the Stam case. You can't walk into court and say, you know what, I don't like these guys, I'm rejecting them. It's obviously not that case. But he has to be talking about something. So the job of the Gemara now is to try and work out what on earth is he talking about. He made a statement saying, this one can disqualify the witnesses of that one, and this one can disqualify the witnesses of that one. What on earth does he mean? How can that work? How can it be? So the Gemara is now trying to find that scenario which fits the words of Rabbi Meir. What Rabbi Meir said is correct. The Mishnah doesn't lie. We just need to work out what possible scenario he could have been talking about where a litigant can disqualify witnesses.
The question I have is, can the judges, in their standard questioning, find out if the witness is successful by, like asking, are you a relative of anyone in the dispute? What do you do for a living? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. So there is, I'm just looking up here, there's two forms of, let's see where it is. It's in a footnote towards the beginning of the Masechet. There are two types of questioning that the judges make to a witness, called Drisha and Chakira. Drisha is general questions, and Chakira is in-depth questions. Now there's some dispute over exactly what is included in those questions. What does Drisha mean and what does Chakira mean? And I can't remember whether that includes Drisha, which is the first set of questions, the general questions, includes questions to the witnesses as to whether or not they're relatives or they're pasul. So either that's included in the first set of questions, or it comes before that, before you even get to Drisha and Chakira, which on the alternative view only apply to the details of the case and they don't apply to the witnesses themselves. Before that, before they even start giving Drisha and Chakira, they would ask them to make sure they're not relatives or pasul. I can't see it. Todd. If you look up on Rabbi Google, Drisha and Chakira, then Bezrat Hashem, you should find what those contain. I can't see it here. And we'll see where in the process they get checked out by the judges. They for sure get checked out by the judges that they're not.
In Malchus, didn't they ask about, what time did something happen? What did you see? Did you see anyone else? What was it? Someone was saying something about stems of a fig leaf.
Yeah. They bring the case of the stems of the fig leaf. That's only one view. That wasn't the machloket on that. Whether or not you go down that far in questioning? How much do you question the witnesses in terms of what they actually saw? Right? How accurate do they need to be? They need to know what time of day it was, for sure. Everyone agrees that. They need to know where it was. But do they need to know what colour jacket he was wearing? Do they need to know, in the case of this, how he was standing next to a fig tree, what type of tree? So they say you need to know what type of tree. But do you need to know how thick the stems of the leaves were? Right? How far do you go before you say this witness is a valid witness, and he's reliable and he can remember, or whether he's too vague? If he doesn't even know, for example, what time of day it was, how can he be sure that it was really that man, or that he actually saw what he saw if he can't remember basic things? So there's a question about how far you go, but they're all questions of the case itself, not questions on the validity of the witness. So presumably the questions on the witness themselves are either done beforehand or they're at the beginning of the question. Okay, so now we're back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has Machloket, Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. Rabbi Meir says a litigant can disqualify witnesses. Hachamim say no, not unless they're pasul or relatives. So what does it mean? So first of all, we tried to say, like Reish Lakish, that what's Rabbi Meir talking about? He's talking about a single witness. And a litigant is able to disqualify a person who brings a single witness. If he brings a single witness, and I agree to him, I allow him to bring a single witness, even though he's not really allowed, but I allow it, and then I change my mind. Rabbi Meir says it's okay, you can disqualify him. When I change my mind, then I now want to reject him. And Reish Lakish says that explains what Rabbi Meir is talking about in the Mishnah. The Gemara says no, it doesn't work, because the language of the Mishnah is clear that it's talking about witnesses in the plural. So we're talking about a single witness when someone brought a single witness, we're talking about witnesses. So Reish Lakish's suggestion for how we understand Rabbi Meir falls down. So then Rabbi Elazar brought an alternative. He said, okay, Rabbi Elazar had a different understanding. Rabbi Elazar said, what does it mean when Rabbi Meir says that a litigant can disqualify witnesses? It means that the litigant joins together with another person to bring testimony against the witnesses that they're passing. He himself is allowed to do that. The Gemara says, wait a minute, he can't bring testimony against witnesses. He is nogeya be'edut. He's partial in the testimony, right? He's biased, he's partial, he's relevant to the case. He can't be a witness against these other witnesses.
But he's not against the case, he's against the witness.
Nachon, but because those witnesses are against him, he can't be a witness against them. They're bringing the claim against him, so he can't also be the witness against them. So Rabbi Elazar says, fine, it's not a problem for me. I'm talking about the case where he's not going against those witnesses, he's going against their father, and saying that their father was a slave. And that he's allowed to do, because he's not going against these witnesses, and therefore it's fine, he's going against their father, no one stopped him going against their father. So that's Rabbi Meir, and Hachamim said no. Hachamim said, even in that case, where you're going against his father, we don't allow it. Because soft, at the end of the day, you're still going against him. Right? Even though you're going, it comes out that you're going against him at the end. Right? So we don't allow it. So that is a dispute in our Mishnah. That's what our Mishnah says. Rabbi Meir says, a litigant can disqualify witnesses. And Hachamim says, no, you can't. That's the scenario we're talking about. Rabbi Elazar has a solution. That's where we finished yesterday. Now the Gemara has a different version, another way of understanding. Right? It doesn't knock out Rabbi Elazar. It doesn't say Rabbi Elazar is a problem. It says, okay, Rabbi Elazar has a solution. But that's not the only way. I don't know if that was true. I don't know if Rabbi Meir really meant that. Who knows? Right? Rabbi Meir was a tanner. And that's what he said. We're now 200 years later in the Amoraim. Rabbi Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar, they're all trying to work out what did Rabbi Meir mean. We don't know. So Rabbi Elazar said, no, this is what he meant. Sounds good, could be. But the Gemara says, there's another way too. Could explain it a different way. What's a different way? So the Gemara says on 23b, Ki ata Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came to Bavel from Eretz Israel. And there's a lot of Gemaras that start with Ki ata Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel to Bavel and brought with him a whole raft of knowledge of Gemara from Jerusalem, from Israel, where he was. Right? They've been learning in the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. They've been learning all the Mishnayot and all the Gemaras and that, right? And then he comes to Bavel where they're learning Talmud Bavli. And they're getting stuck on a point. And they say, this Mishnah from Rabbi Meir, it's a tough one. And Rav Dimi came and said, oh, we talked about that in Jerusalem. So we have a lot of information about when Rav Dimi came. Rav Dimi taught them a lot of stuff in Bavel. So Rav Dimi said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Israel. So he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, an answer to what we're talking about. Rabbi Yochanan worked it out and said, this is what Rabbi Meir means. Machloket b'shtei kitei edim. We're talking about a case of a machloket, an argument between shtei kitei edim, two groups of witnesses.
Two groups.
What's two groups of witnesses mean? It means like this. There's an argument, a dispute, and one litigant has two groups of witnesses. He only needs two witnesses. But actually, he's got two sets. He's got, I don't know why he's got two sets. Two sets meaning two different groups. You could have one set of witnesses with many people in it. For example, if he made a loan, and sitting there in the loan, when he made the loan in the middle of Beit Midrash, and sitting there were five guys, he brought those five guys all into court to testify. That's one group. That's one cat. It's called a cat in Hebrew. One cat, not your cat. One cat. Right? One cat of witnesses, one group. But two groups of witnesses mean two separate groups that are not connected. So they weren't there at the same time. If there were five guys sitting there in the Beit Midrash watching, and they all were going to come to court, but the court starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and a few of them are lazy, they're still in bed, so only three guys turned up. But you've got another two coming. They said they're going to come. They're just not here yet. They'll be here in a half an hour. And they come later. They're still one cat. They're still part of one group.
It's like in a court.
Right, where you have 100 witnesses.
So they're different groups. But if they were there together, they're one group. So here we have two groups. So two groups means that they weren't together for whatever reason. They didn't see each other. They were at a different time. Could be that one group was there in the Beit Midrash when I gave the loan. I said, here's the loan. That's one group of witnesses. I might have a different group of witnesses who were there 2 weeks later when I went round to his house and said, give me that money you owe me. And he said to me, I'm not paying you back. I don't care. I know I owe you the money, but I'm not paying you. You can get out of here. And there were two people standing there watching. And they're going to come and say, I was there 2 weeks later, and he admitted that he owed him and he wasn't going to pay him. Right? So they're a second group of witnesses. I don't need both. I only need one set. Right? But I have two sets available to me. So this is the case that the Gemara is talking about, where you have two sets available to you. So what happened? So what's the scenario? So the Gemara says like this. The Rav Meir, the explanation is that we're talking about the argument between Rav Meir and Hachamim. Let's just refresh ourselves. Rav Meir says, you can't disqualify the other person's witnesses. Hachamim is saying no. So what's the case? Rabbi Meir says, Meir, Savar, Rabbi Meir thinks, Sarich Levarer, you need to Levarer. Levarer means to clarify, or here means to substantiate. Right? We need to substantiate, to clarify the truth the existence of this other testimony. The Rabbanan Savri Eino Sarich Lebarer. But Rabbanan says you don't need to clarify it. We'll come back to it in a minute. Aval Bavatacha Divrei Akol En Yachol Leposlim. But they all agree that in the case of one group, you don't, you're not able to disqualify them. When there's two groups, you can disqualify. Why? Because the second, according to Rabbi Meir, what happens? Let's say this: a person comes into court and he says, "I've got two groups of witnesses, I'm going to bring the first group." And the first group testifies, and they're believed. What happens to the second group? Does he need to bring the second group, or we can ignore them? The first group was enough. Right? Or does he need to bring the second group? So it's a machloket. It's an argument between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. Rabbi Meir says, if you said at the beginning of the court case, I've got two groups of witnesses, and they're both going to testify in my favor, and you bring one group, and everything's good. Rabbi Meir says, you have to bring the second group. Now you said you've got a second group, you have to bring them. Because it could be that their testimony is found to be lying, and it has an impact on the first testimony, might be. Could be different reasons. There's no reason given why I need to give the second group, why I need to hear them. But the commentators explain, it could be this reason, it could be that reason. But the law is, according to Rabbi Meir, that once you say you've got a second group of witnesses, you need to bring them. You can't just say, I've got a second group, you should know. Right? Because that may impact. If I'm in two minds, it could be say this, if I'm in two minds whether to believe the first group, but I know he's got a second group also. So tell him I'm sure they're fine. And I give it extra weight. I give weight to the idea that he's got a second group, even though I haven't tested them. So because of that, Rabbi Meir says, no, if you say you've got a second group, you need to bring it. And if you don't, then you lose the case. You can't say you've got a second group and then not bring it. But Rav Hachamim says, no, if you've got two groups, and you're in the first one, and it's good enough for you, so fine. You can stop there, you've brought enough people. What does that mean? That means that it comes out like this. Amru, the Gemara explains how that affects our Mishnah. Right, so that's the case, fine, but how does it affect our Mishnah with disqualifying witnesses? So we're going to see. Amru lefanav Rabbi Ami Rav Afsi. They said before him, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they said before Rabbi Yochanan was the one who brought this ruling. So they said before him, so Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi said before him, Ein sham ela kat echad. No, sorry. Before we get to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, that's already a question. So before we get to that, we need to explain how that affects our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Rabbi Meir says you can disqualify them. Chachamim says you can't disqualify them. What's that got to do with accepting the second group or not? So it fits in like this.
Listen to this, means you cannot disqualify the second group. So it's like the statement from Hachamim.
So you're right. So Hachamim say you cannot disqualify.
I don't have the meaning.
Says you can disqualify.
Yeah, but now he say we're in the second group. You have to listen to the second group and then you listen to the first group.
Well, we need to answer the question, why? Hachamim makes sense that you can't disqualify, right? It's always the case you can't disqualify. So how does having two groups allow Rabbi Meir to disqualify one? Well, what does it matter if it got one group or two groups? So apparently, according to my understanding of the footnote here, apparently the idea is like this. If you have two groups of testimony, you're allowed to disqualify one because...
No, you say no.
Who?
And he is saying when you listen to the first group, you have to listen to the second group. So using the statement means when you listen to the first group, you need not to say. This means this.
Right. Let's look at Rashi then, because it's not clear. Okay, so there's a long Rashi here, let's just see if we can understand it. Masoka b'shteki tateke. Sh'amar baldin, with name, yeshli shteki kotete, with the vase. So Rashi explains like this. What's the case we're talking about? Talking about a litigant that says in front of the court, I have two sets of witnesses in this matter. And he brings the first set of witnesses. And then the borrower stands up. And then the borrower, the other litigant, and another person, right? So goes back to the previous case of Rabbi Elazar, where he and another person stand up and say, "Pasulim zeh." Hen says that these first witnesses that you brought, the first group, were pasul. Right? He says, I've got two groups. And after the first group get up and testify, Shalom Rabbi Akiva.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Same, sir.
Want to learn with us? They're not so happy about it. For another 5 minutes.
We can do longer.
Or whatever.
How's about no case?
Ah, they're all downstairs. Okay, Tom. So Rashi says, so what happens? So he brings the first group, and then the litigant and another person stand up and say, that first group of witnesses you brought, apostle, they're your brothers, they're your relatives. Tahashta lav kanogeh be'edutu. Why is he allowed to do that? So we're saying it's different than Rabbi Elazar. Remember the argument of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, if he stands up, the litigant, with someone else, and accuses the witnesses, he's not allowed. He's noged de bavai. He's their part of the case.
He has an interest.
He's an interest. But he can do it against their father and say his father was a slave. Right? So that was the case that we found. That he went against the father and he didn't go against him. But now we've got a different case. Now in this new case, we're saying he can even go against the witnesses. In this new scenario, how? How can he go against the witnesses themselves? Isn't he relevant in that case? So no, in the case where there's two sets of witnesses, we can say he's got another set of witnesses. So I'm not partial in this matter. He's still got a valid set of witnesses against me, so I'm not destroying the case. I'm not throwing the case out. I'm allowed to go against one set, because there is another set available. And therefore, I can go against these people.
What's the reason why he's against? You have a reason to say no?
Yeah, but they're relatives.
But you say up too. You can...
You're right. Okay, I'm our pastor. So even very good. Chachmei would also say that. So it can't be that one. So it must be a flaw. For example, like we said, he's a robber. He's got a problem with his testimony. He was a thief. A gazlan
daughter. Right, but the
it's not a witness.
He's pastor. You're right. So what does he say? He said, it's a good. It's a good. Amad halovev amar v'cha pasulim hen. He says they're pastor.
But
the puzzle is what? Won't sharks, thieves,
you're right.
You're right.
Very good question. It's not brought here. It's a very good question.
But doesn't that go back to my original question about in basic questioning,
No, because the judge is not trying to bring proof that they're puzzle.
The
judge is just asking a question. If they deny it, say, no, I'm fine. And then the witnesses have to bring proof against them. It's not for the judges to try and prove that they're puzzled.
No. See, if he asks a question...
If he asks it and he agrees and he admits, I'm puzzled, judge, you're right, 100%. It's a good question, you got me. So he walks. But we're talking about he's not agreeing. We're bringing proof against him.
If he's lying, then the other witnesses could have to would have to bring proof against him.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
How
yeah.
do you think about maybe his grandfather was a thief, his father was a thief? So he's coming in there all thieves.
Okay, so I don't, let's okay, hold it.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes. He says at the beginning of the case, I've got two witnesses. So let's carry on in the Rashi. It might become clearer. We're just at this point. So this is the case. So the case is so far. He says I've got two sets of witnesses. And now, because he said I've got two sets, so now the litigant can be involved. The litigant and one other person can go against these witnesses because you've got another set. So I'm not partialing this testimony because you've got another set, according to Rabbi Meir.
But you need a witness.
You need another one. There needs to be two people.
Two
people are bringing proof. So you need someone else. So he's allowed, according to this way. Is it another way? Just like Rabbi Elazar said, no, it's when they're going against the father. He's saying, no, it's where there's another set.
You know the court.
Yeah.
Now you see, they have two co-witnesses. Now you first alone. Now you have to look as four witnesses. But it didn't happen days before.
He doesn't. The true thing is, he doesn't know. He gives him time. He doesn't know. My understanding is that the litigants, they don't know who they're going to bring. I don't know who this guy is. He said he's got two witnesses. He doesn't tell me before that it's Moshe and Shlomo. I don't know. Two guys suddenly stand up, and I went, "Wait a minute." So now I can.
Now you get along. So come.
So it's the same than when we learnt about Zomamim. Right? When I bring two witnesses in my claim and someone says that you're lying and they bring Zomimim against them, so they didn't know they were gonna get Zomimim. Yeah. So now they're given time to find witnesses against their Zomimim to say, no, they're lying there. We were there. What's
the difference? Before the witnesses.
What?
Maybe before Shon. Before the
case. No, he doesn't have to, but he can have time in the case.
He knows the case, that when he called the man, weeks later he talked with him and said, no, I have somebody, he never talked with me. I saw him, but he didn't talk about the money case.
Right. I think that they're given time to find witnesses, right? I don't know how much time, it maybe depends on the case. But you might have to claim there and then, okay, so we're still in the middle of this Rashi. So Rashi's saying that there's two groups, and because there's two groups, the other litigant, the defendant, is allowed to testify against the first set of witnesses and say that they're passel. Rashtalav can I give veidur, because now he's not portioning the testimony, because amar malveh sheyesh lo kata acheret, because the first litigant said he's got another set of witnesses. Bin Mikesh for Law Matzah. And if he said that he has a second set of witnesses, and then he didn't bring them, Yafsid, he would lose the case. The Ketavah Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir holds, Sarich Baldin, Levaret, because Rabbi Meir holds that the litigant needs to substantiate his testimony to bring the second group. Lamid al Ha'emet called Barab, in order to stand up all of his words. Right, he has to, any words he says in the court, I've got another set of testimony, has to be found to be true. Shetot, that he's claiming the Beit Din, in the Beit Din. Vahane Mifasle, Ah Le'ediyot Acharot. And these can disqualify even the second witnesses. Bimikesh Matsakat Acheret Kishera. And if he brought a second set of witnesses and they were found to be kosher, Afal Bisha Rishonan Nisalah, even though the first ones were disqualified, right? So if the first ones were disqualified, you're right. You brought a first set of witnesses and they were found to be your relatives or passel for another reason. And you brought a second set. and they were good, even though the first set were no good. Then he has substantiated the second set of testimony. Shama laviyam v'avi v'hu lo dak v'savor shek sharim hayu. And it's still good for him.
Then the question I have is, can the litigant disqualify the second set?
The litigant, yes. Yes. No. No, because he's now Nogev Adavah. Now there's only one set, and he can't disqualify the second set because he's now partial in the testimony.
So he would need
two separate witnesses. To pass all the second set. Because now there's only one set left, and he is now partial in that testimony.
So can the judges disqualify the witnesses through examining them?
Yes. Well, no, there's two different things. One is disqualification through being passel, being a relative.
Right.
The judge finds that he's a relative and he asks him the question. If he asks him a question, he says no. Or probably could be that he doesn't believe it. But he asks him a question, he's believed. Basically, witnesses are believed. If they say they're not a relative, then without proof, you have to believe him. We hold that Jews don't lie. That's the way the court system works. But if on his testimony, I don't believe him, so I don't have to go, I don't have to agree his testimony. I can say his testimony hasn't been proven. Right? If I ask him, what type of tree was he standing next to when he made that loan, and the witness says, I don't know, it could have been fig, and it might be an apple tree, I'm not really sure. So the judge can decide, you know what, this guy's a bit shaky on his testimony, I'm not accepting it. And he declares that the testimony doesn't stand. It's not cogent enough. There's not enough proof here. So the judge can, if you want to say, disqualify, but it means like, it means there's not enough evidence to win the case. You follow my Rashi here on the second part says, you follow my ainly odd. What do Rabbanan, what does Chachamim say about the case of two witnesses, two sets of witnesses? So Rabbanan says, V'yacholoma ainly od, v'nimsa zeh nogeh be'at meidotu. The long of Saleh, filu be'idotu. So you say like this. So what's the machloket between Rabbi Meir and the sages? So Rabbi Meir says, I'm allowed to disqualify the first set, because you've got another second set. And because you've got a second set, I'm not really partial in the first set. The first testimony is, the case is not resting on those witnesses. So the fact that I can disqualify them is not something that's directly affecting my trial. Right? So I'm allowed to do it. The second set, no, obviously, because that's now partial. But Chachamim say, no, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? So Rashi explains why Chachamim say no. Chachamim say no because Chachamim say that the litigant doesn't have to bring the second set. According to Rabbi Meir, he does have to bring the second set. Because he has to bring the second set, so it's not the case is not resting on this, it could be them. But Chachamim say you don't have to be in the second set. You can finish on the first set. And if you finish on the first set, then those were the main test. That was it. That was the testimony. The case rested on it. So you are Nogeh Beidotah, even in the first set, because that might be the only witnesses. You don't know if he's going to bring them. Because he doesn't have to. So that's the difference.
Let's say we go to Shita for many years a little bit. I will win because I have my second set. They can disqualify my first set.
A second fight.
So you can lose.
Right.
When the judge said no, we're not believed in, so that's not. So you go to the judge and say, like, I want the judge. I won before they start.
Okay.
Yeah. When the Rahamim say no, you can win with the first, but you can lose with the first. This is what you have to say. Yeah? Let's say the judge said,
other
no,
way around.
The
other way around. Chachamim say you can start. You can only do one.
You can. Can you win the first set?
Chachamim or Rabbi Meir.
Chachamim.
Yeah.
You can say you believe in the first set.
Yeah.
But you cannot believe in the first set. Then you have not the second set.
Rabbi Meir says you have to bring the second set.
Chachamim.
You can stop. He said you can stop after the first.
You can stop after the first.
Right.
And then say they're not believing the first set. But he had always not the second set.
He could choose. If he wants to, Nachon.
So
that was my question.
The first set. You can bring the second.
Yeah, Nachon. Nachon. So according to Hachamim, you can bring that or that. But Rabbi Meir says, no, if you say two, you have to bring two. So then, according to Rabbi Meir, because you have to bring two, so you for sure have two, so you're allowed to go against one of them. But Chachamim say, I don't know if he's going to have two. He said two, but he might not bring it. So I've only got one for sure, so you can't go against that one. And that's the difference between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, and that's the Mishnah.
Does it matter which set you go first on?
The first one is the first one. The first one is de facto counted as the first set. You said, I said I've got two sets.
And
the first one I bring is the first one.
No, but if he brings both sets...
I can't. It has to be a first set. There's no such thing as having two sets talking at the same time. There has to de facto be a first set.
Okay, they're in the same room.
Right.
Does it matter which is interrogated first?
No.
Okay.
The first one becomes the first set. That's up to the litigant says, I bring my first set of witnesses. Like if the court says, who do you want to bring? He says, you know what? I'm bringing these guys. You come here. So you go according to that.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Take the first set, I have my second set, then they're not believing the second set, you have to.
Yes. Yeah. And if he doesn't want to bring that, if, according to Rabbi Meir, if you bring a first set and they're no good, or they're good, right? The first set's
okay,
good. And the second set are a bit dodgy. So you don't want to bring them. Right, because the first set were great. Guys, you did amazing. Great. Second set, they were a bit... So, right, he doesn't want to bring them now. If he doesn't bring them, he's lost.
But
according to Ahmed, no, you can leave them. You don't need to bring the second set. But Rabbi Meir has to. And if he doesn't, he loses the case. How can I say, you don't want to bring the second set? You don't have to. It's fine. You want to.
You win the case with the first set. So why do you need to... Now you have to bring the second set.
Well, according to Rabbi Meir, because you said, I've got two sets. So you said it at the beginning in order to sound impressive, I've got two sets of witnesses, right? So now you said it, bring them on. But if you didn't, right? So you shouldn't have said. Right?
So
but according to Chachamim, it's okay. You don't have to bring
according
it.
According to Rabbi Meir, if they're both in the same room, and you say, you have two sets, here's one, here's the other, and the first one gave testimony, what's next? Do you say, you know, I just lost my train of thought. You know, do the judges ask for the second set, or do you say, here's the second set, what do you want done?
I'm not sure it makes a difference. I don't think there's, in Gemara terms, there's no nafkamina. There's no difference. I mean, there's no practical outcome. Well, why would it differ in terms of who says?
Then who's forcing the second set to testify?
But why? Meaning, the Gemara asks you, what's the nafkamina? What's the practical implication of your question? Okay, I mean, what does it matter?
Namely, if you win the case already, do you need to actually have the second set testify?
So that's the whole machloket. Rabbi Meir says you do need to bring them anyway. Chachamim says you don't.
So then it's the judge's decision whether it's...
It's called procedure. According to the argument of Machloket, it's the process. If you said at the beginning that you have two sets, then you can, and you don't bring the second set, you lose part of your claim. You can't bring half a claim and say, I've brought my half claim and I'm done. You said you've got another set of witnesses. Rabbi Meir says, you have to bring them now. You can't not. And if you decide for whatever reason, they went home, they left, they went and got a cup of tea, I can't find them now, sorry, you lost the case. You said you had two sets. It's your problem.
So they believe they're not in the second set?
Could be there.
Everything is fine.
Could be set.
Second,
It could be, we don't know what the second set are coming to tell us. It could be coming to say, you know, they were there at the same time, they didn't, they were also watching.
They said they're not really in the second set, there is not. So they're not really in all the case.
No, they could only be, if the first set was good, the second set come along and they weren't good, they didn't know what they're talking about, then it's fine, they can still win. You can still win on the first set, but you have to bring them anyway. He has to bring them. But if the first set, if the second set come along and they're definitely lying, for example, right, and they're like, they're lying, then the judges may go back and examine the first set again just to check, because there's something fishy, there's something a problem now. Wait a minute, maybe I'm not going to believe these first guys, I thought I believed them, but now these second guys are just making it up. So maybe, Tom, I think we'll go to there today.
Okay.